Más. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 113, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. How blessed the man who thoughtfully the poor and weak befriends, deliverance in the evil day to him Jehovah sends. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 113.
wish to read out of God's holy and precious word out of the book of Psalms, Psalm 72, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 72, a psalm for Solomon. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace, so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him, all nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be an handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, and all-decreeing God, even from eternity to that great eternity, all things shall take place according to thy holy will, and also according to that which thou hast given thy servants to prophesy of old, as we have heard it together out of the mouth of thy servant David, when he may speak of that which was to come concerning his son Solomon, and the reign that thou wouldst give unto him, so that the kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. All nations shall come and shall bow before him, and thou hast given him to speak further of him who was the antitype, of whom it may be said that all nations shall bow before thee, that all men from every quarter of this world shall come from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, and men shall come in acknowledgement of thee, the great King. Oh, that we may be also among them, because thou knowest our privilege as a people to be brought up under thy truth and to hear it from the days of our infancy. But then so often man becomes hardened to that to which he is used to, and then we can go lost and have our portion in the lowest hell when we have known the truth and have had no desire to walk in it, so that thou didst warn even thy own people of old that it were better for Sodom and Gomorrah than for them. Oh, that we may be given instruction then out of thy holy word of truth concerning our own need, concerning our own sin, and that we may be brought in all our wretchedness, in all of our ignorance, and that we may be brought even as that queen of old who desired to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and to whom thou hadst given an office here below, and to whom thou hadst given the qualifications for that office. But oh, do give to us then to see the beauty by the revelation of thyself unto our own souls of thy dear Son. For thou didst say unto thy disciple Simon, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And so he could say with all his heart, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the one anointed, appointed, and qualified, and thou art he whom I stand in need of." Oh, that it may be in the hearts of young and old amongst us. For blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. But oh, it needs then to be given unto each one of us from above, as we are not able of ourselves. Oh, that thou may remember us then as a congregation, when thou dost give the offices once again to be filled in the midst of us by these two brothers. Lord, thou knowest all that they stand in need of, all that they might feel, and that it is not by men alone who are but the means as instruments in thy hands, but that thou dost give an office from above, and that it is a most solemn office, and that it is to carry out the offices of thy dear and only begotten Son, and that they may be given continually to feel that they need do this not in their own strength, but that they may be given those gifts and qualifications and that are necessary from above. Oh, that they may be given to feel that thou givest them a place in their inner chamber, and that they may be given to feel that thou art the living God, and that thou dost not forsake the work of thine own hands, and that thou may remember us so as a consistory, and give us wisdom and the ability to work together for the welfare of our congregation, and that thou mayest bless the labors of the consistory in the midst of us, to the upbuilding of thy church, to the bringing in of thy kingdom. Do look upon and remember him also that is now leaving the office. Thou knowest the many years that he may serve. And then, Lord, we ask of thee that thou may go before him and his wife together, and that thou mayest bless them with blessings from above, and that they may feel and experience something of thy nearness, of thy communion, and a token that thou knowest where that they are. Lord, that thou may so bless them, and wilt thou give what is necessary also unto our curatorium. For then he also was given for many years to sit upon that most important committee. And Lord, then thou knowest all the things that do take place in our days. Oh, that thou may give yet men that may have discernment, that may be placed in that most important position, that there may be those that may be admitted to our theological school in the time to come, and that we may be as guardians, for there are also many that would run of their own accord. Lord, we beseech thee then from above that thou wouldst provide us men in thy favor and with thy blessing and with those gifts that are necessary, especially that of discernment, and that thou may look upon us as a congregation. Remember all the sick and the afflicted, those that must go for tests. Thou knowest the fears that can live in their hearts, and that thou may bless the means that are used for the healing of the bodies. Care for the weak, care for all those that mourn, and wilt thou bless the means for the body, and also sanctify the callings to the soul of both young and old together. Remember our children and our teachers, the school, when they will begin in the day of tomorrow once again. Oh, that thou may be in the midst of them to give thy instruction unto the teachers, and that they may stand in faithfulness with courage and with diligence, with wisdom, with love and discretion in the midst of our children, and that they may be an example also for them upon this short journey here below, and that thou mayest bless their most important task in the midst of our families. Help mothers and fathers in the households, and wilt thou give more men that may give themselves to that most important work of the instruction of the youth, and that thou knowest Satan does tempt and does desire to have for his own. O Lord, that there may be those who are raised up by thee and that are given that heart and that desire to give themselves unto that difficult work, and that thou mayest thyself bless those that may labor there each and every day, to give them strength and the nearness and the presence of thy Spirit in a personal way. Help the school board. Help all that rule and reign over us. And wilt thou be with us in this afternoon hour? Wilt thou thyself give thy Spirit, Lord, that thou mayest come and that thou mayest take of thy word and bring it and plant it as seed in the hearts of men, and that thou mayest dig up the fallow ground, and that thou mayest give fruit where it is for us impossible. Then we are but to sow the seed, and the increase is of thee. Oh, we beseech thee for this then, in this very afternoon hour, one word thou art able to bring into the heart of a man, and then it shall be thus far and no further. Oh, that thou mayest do it then for thy name's sake, forgiving and taking away all of our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter number 3, stanzas 1 and 2. Wherefore do the nations rage, and the people vainly dream, that in triumph they can wage war against the King Supreme? Christ his Son a scoff they make, and the rulers plotting say, their dominion let us break. Let us cast their yoke away, their dominion let us break. Let us cast their yoke away. Psalter number 3, stanzas 1 and 2. give her the living child. She is the mother thereof. What a great wisdom. What a great wisdom in judgment. How right it has made things. Things that were so wrong. A mother deprived of her son. The thief in possession. Satan has the advantage with lies, with deceit, and with temporal strength. Truth is fallen in the streets. Is it ever so, people of the Lord? May you then sing with the psalmist, but the Lord will send salvation, and by day his love provide. He shall be my exaltation and my song at eventide. May you ever sing it in the depth of that pit. And when no man shall be for your comfort, when no man can be to your help, oh, the Lord will make it true for his people. Even though the waters plunge and leap, even though deep re-echoes unto deep, the Lord is going to make it true. And the Lord is going to make it right for his own people. Give her the living child. She is the mother thereof. She is the one that has the nature of a mother. She is the one that has the character of a mother. By their fruits ye shall know them. Not by their profession, not by what they say, not by what they claim, but by their fruits. That is a woman who has self-denial. That is a woman who has a care more for her son than she has for herself. And indeed, it is the true mother. What a great wisdom. Where did that come from? That wisdom in judgment. Where did he get that from, that young man? That is now what we wish to consider in this afternoon out of the words of our text, which you can find in 1 Kings 3. The 9th verse. 1 Kings 3, verse 9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? So far the words of our text. Solomon's request of the Lord. First, a humble acknowledgement. Second, an upright desire. Solomon's request of the Lord. First, a humble acknowledgement. Second, an upright desire. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. We say a humble acknowledgement of what? Of his lack. Of what he does not have. Of what he misses. What does he say he misses? understanding. Wisdom. Solomon felt that. He felt that very keenly. Do you ever feel that, children? Young people? You go back to school again tomorrow. Is that good? Maybe you say, I like school. That is good. Maybe you say, school is sometimes very, very difficult for me. Is it hard sometimes, the lessons? What do you do when it is hard? What do you do when everyone else seems to understand? You say, I do not understand. Do you go sometimes, children, on your knees? Do you have an inner closet, two boys and girls, that you will ask the Lord, that you will pray to the Lord, that you may ask Him for wisdom? Do you believe that understanding comes from above? Or do you think that all comes just from here below? Solomon believed that understanding came from heaven. And he asked the Lord for that understanding. Solomon was only in his early 20s, most likely. But Solomon feared the Lord. How old are you? Do we have here some young people who are 20, 21, 22 years old? Can you imagine? If you were now made king, king over all the nation of Israel. He was young, but he feared the Lord. Are there young people also here today that fear the Lord? Can that be seen in your walk? Can that be heard in your conversation that you fear the Lord? Are there here young men of whom the consistory may say, now there is a young man. You must watch that young man. Because he is a man who seems to have a tender heart as he walks through this world. Maybe then the Lord will have something to do for that young man. One day also to sit in the benches here in the offices of the church, young people. That we see one who is older, he ceases from his office, and a younger man is in his place. That is what takes place continually in the church of God. Where are they going to come from, young people? What kind of life do we live? Is that not a wonder that Solomon feared the Lord when he was a young man, and that he could be set by the Lord over all of the people of the Lord? After the kingdom was established in his hand, Solomon goes to Gibeon. What was that Gibeon? Gibeon was the place where the tabernacle of the Lord was. There was the brazen altar of the Lord. The Ark of Testimony was not there. But that is the place where Solomon goes. It is the first thing he does. Young man, anointed to be the king over all Israel. And then the first place he goes is the place of sacrifice. And there he has 1,000 beasts of his offered unto the Lord. What does that cost, farmers? I don't know. That is a lot of money, I think, to give as a donation to the Lord, isn't it? 3,000 sacrifices that are placed upon that altar. Oh, then it is as if Solomon says, I cannot give enough. And the first thing that he wants to do is to acknowledge the Lord. The first thing he wants to do is to ask the Lord, Lord, wilt thou go with me? Wilt thou be on my right hand and wilt thou be on my left hand? That is now what meant the most to Solomon. Do we do that too? Young people, maybe you say, I am thinking about asking this girl if she will go with me somewhere on a date. Do you do it just like that? Or do you bow your knees first? Must you first acknowledge the Lord that He lives and that you need His guidance when you get married, husbands and wives? Where do you begin? Do you begin on your knees? When you will begin a business, do we begin on our knees? When we are placed in an office, do we begin on our knees? That is now what Solomon did. Young man, we would say, with the fear of the Lord that is deeply in his heart. After a busy day, Solomon lays him down to sleep. It was a busy day, but it was a good day. It was a blessed day. Do you ever have that? Busy days, the house of God. We come up two times to the house of the Lord. And in our home, then there is reading, then there is singing. Oh, do you ever go to sleep at night after such a Sabbath day? Lay yourself down in your bed with such a gladness. To say, oh Lord, it was so good today. Maybe that you say, I cannot say I even have received something. But now to be in the house of the Lord. Oh, to hear the word of the Lord. To sing the word of the Lord. That was so good. And you lay yourself down to sleep. Do you know what Solomon did not know? That the best part was still to come. The best part was still to come. Why? We read here that the Lord appeared to him. You ever jealous of that? If the Lord speaks to some of his people, do you ever say, oh, I wish that the Lord would also speak to me? Do you wish that? Is that so? Well, just notice a moment then. When was that the Lord spoke to Solomon? When was that the Lord appeared to Solomon? That was when Solomon had sought the Lord. Do you see when the Lord is coming to his people? Then the Lord is drawing them. Then the Lord is putting that in their heart to seek Him. And when they are using those means, then the Lord is coming to bless His own people. Oh, does that not give to you something in your heart that says, I will seek the Lord with all my heart, with all my strength, that the Lord may also appear unto me? In Gideon, and the Lord appeared unto Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. What is the Lord not able to give us? Is there anything? You read about some kings too. King said, Herod, to that dancing girl, you may ask whatever you like, up to half of the kingdom, and I will give it to you. He could give her much, but he could not give her everything. And there were only certain kinds of gifts that he could give. They were the gifts that have to do with this world, that are carnal. And now what does the Lord say to Solomon? He says, ask what I shall give thee. Congregation, the Lord is every day giving. That is what he is doing. Every day, not taking. He says, what is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? The Lord is every day giving. So many things already we receive out of that hand of the Lord. James says, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. Do you believe that? Every gift, not only the gifts for temporal life, but now those eternal gifts, they are also coming from above. And the Lord, he is saying here, ask what I shall give thee. Thus the Lord says, those things, everything that the Lord has to give, that is to be had for the asking. For the asking. That is pleasing unto the Lord. When we will ask him. Why? Because to ask the Lord for something is to acknowledge the Lord. If we ask him for something great, then we acknowledge how great that he is. If we ask him for things temporal, then we acknowledge that he is the provider and the creator of the whole world. If we ask him for things eternal, spiritual, then we acknowledge him that he is divine. You say, but I don't deserve those things. That is right. But if we ask when we do not deserve them, what do we acknowledge? Then we also acknowledge that he is merciful. Then we also acknowledge that he is gracious. When we do not deserve them, and we ask as an undeserving sinner, then we acknowledge his Son. And the way that gifts, the greatest of gifts, can be received because of who that the Lord is. The Lord says, ask what I shall give thee. What would you ask for? If the Lord had appeared to us last night in a dream, what would we have asked for? The daughter of Herodias, she said to Herod, wait a moment, I will go ask my mother. Would you say that to the Lord too? Say, Lord, can I have a day because I need to think about it? Don't know what to ask for. What would be the best? Solomon did not need to ask for time. No, Solomon knew. He knew what he desired already of the Lord. The Lord appears to him in a dream. That is something that happened in former days. The Lord is able to do that today too. But it is not the way that the Lord appears anymore, because now we have His Word. But when we dream, then it is usually the things that we have been thinking about during the day when we are awake. Solomon has thought of many of these things. These things have been in the meditations of that young man when he was elected to be the king of Israel. Do those things also live in our heart? Are they the subject of our meditations also day by day, as it was for this young man? Then we do not need to ask for time. No, then Solomon knew what he desired. And so we read that he answers the Lord. And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people, that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude." Thus we say a humble acknowledgement. An acknowledgement of what? Well, does he acknowledge several things? The first thing that he acknowledges is the truth of the Lord. The truth of the Lord. What does he say? "O Lord, thou hast made me king instead of my father, and that is what thou hadst promised." Thus he takes notice of the fulfillment of the promise of the Lord. This is not something that has just happened haphazardly. His brother has sought the throne. It is the Lord who has fulfilled His own word. The Lord is not a liar. You believe that, young people? How old are you? He was young. The Lord is not a liar. Maybe you think that sometimes. Does the Lord really exist? Is the word of the Lord really true? Oh, that is a very profitable thing for a young man, if he may meditate on the faithfulness and on the truth of God in his youth. That you may go through that word of God when you are young. That you may look at Psalm 72 that was written before the reign of Solomon, and how that the Lord has fulfilled it in the life of His Son as He has asked and prophesied. That you may look and see how that the Lord has fulfilled it in His antitype, the Lord Jesus Christ. That you may see in the days of your youth that the Lord is no liar. That every single word of the Lord that is being and will be fulfilled, that young man, he acknowledges this. He acknowledges something else. He acknowledges that the Lord has set him on the throne, not himself, but that the Lord has given him this office that thou hast made thy servant king. I did not make myself king. That is something that thou hast promised. That is something that thou hast worked out also in the way of thy own providence. Everything coming together under thy governing direction as the king of thy people, as the ruler of this whole world. Thou hast made thy servant king. How important that is. For an office bearer to be able to go back and to say, O Lord, thou hast made thy servant king. When there are troubles, when there are difficulties, then how necessary and how strengthening and how comforting that the calling to that office is for the Lord's servants. And Solomon finds a foundation in this. He wants to make a request. A request of the Lord. And a request that needs to have a foundation. It needs to have a basis. And Solomon finds a basis in the fact that he has not run of his own, that he was appointed to be king, that the Lord has made him king. And thus he makes a request that is based upon this appointment. That is, Lord, if thou hast appointed me for this, wilt thou also qualify me for this? Wilt thou give me everything that I need to fulfill that office? There is a third thing. He says, I am young. I am a little child, he says. Or he was little in wisdom, he felt, in understanding. The Lord has put him in the place of his father. His father who feared the Lord. His father who was the man after God's own heart. Whom the Lord had helped. Oh, what a large place that young man has to fill. And then he has placed, he says, as a ruler of a great and innumerable people. Yes, also the people of the Lord. The special, the most special people in the whole world. To be king over that nation of Israel. Solomon is not drunk with power. As a young man, Solomon feels weight. Weight upon the office that is laid upon his shoulder. Then he does not have to think about what to ask when the Lord says, ask what I shall give thee. Then his answer is ready. We see that in our second thought, an upright desire. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? An understanding heart. What does that mean? There are several things that are contained in this. One is to listen. A heart that listens. The second is to perceive. The third is to obey. Thus, Solomon asks the Lord to give him an ear to hear him. A mind to perceive what he says. and a heart to obey His will. What is it that He desires to understand, to perceive? Well, He says, that I may discern between good and bad. Why? He says, so that I may judge thy people. Young people, children, I have a little book at home. It is a little Bible quiz book, all kinds of questions about the Bible in it. And there is a little introduction. And that introduction that is speaking to children, it says, you should learn all of the answers to these questions. And then it says, why? And why does it say? Well, the author says, then you will know more than all your friends about the Bible. What do you think? Is that now a good reason to learn the Bible? So that you can know more than all your friends? That is not a good reason. That is nothing but pride. And then we can know the whole Bible. And then we are a proud boy, a proud girl. Then it is all to our destruction. Solomon asked for understanding. Do we do that too? Why? So that we may have fame. Maybe that we may have an office. So that we may have power. Oh, that was not so for Solomon. Solomon was a young man. Solomon was already a king. He was given that office by the Lord. What does he want? When he asked the Lord for an understanding heart, he wants to be a good king. He wants to be a righteous king. Righteous before the Lord, and of profit, true profit, to all the people over whom he is king. Do we desire that too, parents, teachers, office bearers? Understanding from the Lord. That we may be a good parent. That we may know how to guide our students, our congregation. That I may discern between good and bad. What is now more necessary in our life than to discern between good and bad? What is more necessary in our personal life? What is more necessary as a person who has authority over other persons in this world from the Lord? We read of Ahithophel that it was a man who was so intelligent. You asked him a question. It was as if a man inquired at the oracle of God. But do you know what he did not know? He could not discern between good and bad. He joined Absalom. He could not see that David was good. And that Absalom was bad. Oh, do we desire understanding? Do we desire wisdom? Here's the place to begin. if the Lord converts us? Do you know what we want to know? A little child or an old man, same thing. You know what he wants to know. Oh Lord, show me what is good and show me what is bad. Can we examine our own heart? There is nothing, no understanding that is so necessary and so profitable as this knowledge and discernment between good and bad. Solomon speaks here especially in reference to judgment. What does that mean? That he speaks especially about making a moral judgment. He's going to be king. And he has to judge. Thus he desires to know what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is bad. That is a moral judgment that has to do with moral things. How do we know what's right and wrong? Do you know that, young people? How do you know what's right and wrong? The world says we cannot know what's right and wrong. It is all relative. It just depends. It's different for you than it is for me. There is no standard of right and wrong. Canadian government now says, I believe that has come into effect in the day of yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, that our children are able to tell us what is right and wrong. And that we have to accept that of our children, even though that it is against the holy word of God. That is something that we may not instruct them in. And we may not tell them that there is a right and that there is a wrong. God's law. God's law is the standard of right and wrong. Will you remember that, young people? Will you go back unto that law? 10 commandments. We read them every Sabbath day. There is our standard of right and wrong. That is now the foundation of all the true conscience convictions of men in this world. That law was written on the impressed upon the mind and the conscience of man in our creation. That is why there is still a remnant of this left in men who have not the revealed word of truth. The holy law of God. The Roman Catholic Church says, right and wrong, that is also to be determined by tradition. The church is allowed to say, in addition to the word of God, what is right and wrong. Our reformers have said no. The church has not that authority. That it is the scriptures alone. The Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees that ye make the commandments of the Lord of none effect by your tradition. Thus your tradition does not tell what is good and what is bad. The Lord Jesus was the antitype of Solomon. Oh, what a discernment that he had. Only read it in God's word. What a discernment. When he discerned between good and bad within that church of that time, wherein there was so much tradition. And then all kinds of questions to him to drive him in a corner. And he had so much of that heavenly wisdom that there came a time that no man durst ask him any more questions. Every mouth is stopped. Could say nothing. How will it be for us when we have to stand before that greater Solomon, that I may discern between good and bad? That is now the request of that young king. Is it our request too? That is necessary for us. That it would be our request in a personal way. Why? The Lord says we are bad. Says we are bad people, sinful people, conceived and born in sin. There is none righteous, no, not one. What do we say? We say, I'm a good person with some mistakes. I'm a good person. I just have some shortcomings. Is that not in our heart? And why? Because we cannot discern between good and bad. That is why. That needs to change. That needs to change between the cradle and the grave. How can that change? What does the Lord say? By the law is the knowledge of sin. That is how it changes. When the Lord comes with his law, and when the Lord says, thou art the man, and then we begin to discern between good and bad. This religious person, who I thought was such a good person, becomes a bad person. Paul says when the commandment came, he was a religious person. Sin revived, and I died. And then, oh, then there is place. That is such a beautiful place, because then there is place for that blessed mediator. Then there is place for that great office bearer, whose father himself has taken the bad in paradise and he has changed it into good. To discern between good and bad. May you do that, young people. Right and wrong. Will you ask the Lord that? Oh, Lord, teach me. Show me what is right and show me what is wrong. That discernment, that is especially necessary for those in authority, fathers, mothers, teachers, office bearers, magistrates, that every one of us in the place that the Lord has given to us, may know and be able to discern between what is good and bad. Are you concerned with that? In the place the Lord has given you? Often we are not. We're only concerned with the outcome. We're only concerned with the end. We look at that and we say, well, how can I get there? It doesn't matter if it's right or wrong, as long as I can attain my end. No. There are many things that many decisions that are made that don't have a right and a wrong. That's fine, then you can look at the end. But do you know what we want to be? God. Satan said, ye shall be as gods. We still want to be God. We still want to be God. Say, this is what I want. And if I have to sin to get there, I will do it anyway. Or what does the Lord say? He says, I take care of the end. You do what I say. You do only what is right. All that is now what Solomon desired. Young men, all the wisdom, the fear of God that the Lord had put in that young man's heart. Oh, then he saw what his father said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Satan tried to lead Adam and Eve to be their leader. He will not surely die. This is not a bad thing. Take of that fruit. No, it is good. Look, it is good for food. Called what was bad, good. And what was good, bad. But do you know what Solomon said? Give her the living child. She is the mother thereof. Where did it come from? It came from above, not from below. There was a wisdom. A wisdom that came from above. He had asked for it. And the Lord gave it to him. For that office. And you know what he writes himself. With the inspiration of the Spirit of the Lord. When the righteous are in authority. Then the people rejoice. All that is the rejoicing. Of that true church by moments here below, because of that antitype who is in authority. It can seem so much wrong in the whole world, but that king is sitting upon his throne. And then by moments that church may sing, but they are going to sing forever and forever that song of Moses and the Lamb. Great and marvelous are thy works, thou almighty God. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of the saints. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 223. All the stanzas and afterwards the form for the ordination of elders and deacons will be read to you. 223, 1, 2, and 3. Where'er his creatures gather, the unseen God is near. Let rulers fear their ruler, their judge let judges fear. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 223.
Beloved Christians, you know that we have several times published unto you the names of our brethren here present who are chosen to the office of elders and deacons in this church, to the end that we might know whether any person had aught to allege why they should not be ordained in their respective offices. And whereas no one hath appeared before us who hath alleged anything lawful against them, we shall therefore at present, in the name of the Lord, proceed to their ordination. But first, you who are to be ordained, and all those who are here present, shall attend to a short declaration from the Word of God concerning the institution and the office of elders and deacons. Of the elders is to be observed that the word elder or eldest, which is taken from the Old Testament, and signifieth a person who is placed in an honorable office of government over others, is applied to two sorts of persons who minister in the church of Jesus Christ, for the apostle saith, "The elders that rule well shall be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." Hence it is evident that there were two sorts of elders in the apostolic church, the former whereof did labor in the word and doctrine, and the latter did not. The first were the ministers of the word and pastors who preached the gospel and administered the sacraments. But the others, who did not labor in the word and still did serve in the church, bore a particular office, namely, they had the oversight of the church and ruled the same with the ministers of the word. For Paul, in Romans 12, having spoken of the ministry of the word and also of the office of distribution or deaconship, speaketh afterwards particularly of this office, saying, "He that ruleth, let him do it with diligence." Likewise, in another place, he counts government among the gifts and offices which God hath instituted in the church. Thus we see that these sorts of ministers are added to the others who preach the gospel to aid and assist them, as in the Old Testament the common Levites were to the priests in the service of the tabernacle in those things which they could not perform alone. Notwithstanding, the offices always remain distinct one from the other. Moreover, it is proper that such men should be joined to the ministers of the word in the government of the church, to the end that thereby all tyranny and lording may be kept out of the church of God, which may sooner creep in when the government is placed in the hands of one alone or of a very few. And thus the ministers of the word, together with the elders, form a body or assembly, being as a council of the church, representing the whole church, to which Christ alludes when he saith, "Tell the church," which can in no wise be understood of all and every member of the church in particular, but very properly of those who govern the church out of which they are chosen. Therefore, in the first place, the office of elders is, together with the ministers of the word, to take the oversight of the church which is committed to them, and diligently to look whether everyone properly deports himself in his confession and conversation, to admonish those who behave themselves disorderly, and to prevent, as much as possible, the sacraments from being profaned. Also to act, according to the Christian discipline, against the impenitent, and to receive the penitent again into the bosom of the church, as doth not only appear from the above-mentioned saying of Christ, but also from many other places of Holy Writ, as 1 Corinthians 5 and 2 Corinthians 2, that these things are not alone entrusted to one or two persons, but to many who are ordained thereto. Secondly, since the apostle enjoineth that all things shall be done decently and in order amongst Christians, and that no other persons ought to serve in the church of Christ but those who are lawfully called according to the Christian ordinance, therefore it is also the duty of elders to pay regard to it, and in all occurrences which relate to the welfare and good order of the church, to be assistant with their good counsel and advice to the ministers of the word. yea, also to serve all Christians with advice and consolation. Thirdly, it is also the duty particularly to have regard unto the doctrine and conversation of the ministers of the word, to the end that all things may be directed to the edification of the church, and that no strange doctrine be taught, according to that which we read in Acts 20, where the apostle exhorteth to watch diligently against the wolves which might come into the sheepfold of Christ, for the performance of which the elders are in duty bound, diligently to search the word of God, and continually be meditating on the mysteries of faith. Concerning the deacons, of the origin and institution of their office, we may read, Acts 6, where we find that the apostles themselves did in the beginning serve the poor, at whose feet was brought the price of the things that were sold, and distribution was made unto every man, according as he had need. But afterwards, when a murmuring arose, because the widows of the Grecians were neglected in the daily ministrations, men were chosen, by the advice of the apostles, who should make the service of the poor their peculiar business, to the end that the apostles might continually give themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And this has been continued from that time forward in the church, as appears from Romans 12, where the apostle, speaking of this office, saith, "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." And in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, speaking of helps, he means those who are appointed in the church to help and assist the poor and indigent in time of need. From which passage we may easily gather what the deacon's office is, namely, that they in the first place collect and preserve with the greatest fidelity and diligence the alms and goods which are given to the poor. Yea, to do their utmost endeavors that many good means be procured for the relief of the poor. The second part of their office consists in distribution, wherein are not only required discretion and prudence to bestow the alms only on objects of charity, but also cheerfulness and simplicity to assist the poor with compassion and hearty affection, as the apostle requires in Romans 12 and 2 Corinthians 9, for which end it is very beneficial that they do not only administer relief to the poor and indigent with external gifts, but also with comfortable words from Scripture.
I now ask those who are to be installed in their office to please arise and to answer the following questions. To the end, therefore, beloved brethren, David Arnold Dusen and Brendan DeYoung, that everyone may hear that you are willing to take your respective offices upon you, ye shall answer to the following questions. And I ask in the first place, both elder and deacon, whether you do not feel in your hearts that you are lawfully called of God's church and consequently of God Himself to these your respective holy offices. Secondly, whether ye believe the books of the Old and New Testament to be the only Word of God and the perfect doctrine of salvation, and do reject all doctrines repugnant thereto. Thirdly, whether ye promise agreeably to said doctrine, faithfully, according to your ability to discharge your respective offices, as they are here described, as elder in the government of the church together with the minister of the word, and as deacon in the ministration to the poor. And do ye also jointly promise to walk in all godliness, and to submit yourself in case ye should become remiss in your duty to the admonition of the church? What is your answer, David Arnold Dusen? Brendan DeYoung. The Almighty God and Father, replenish you both with His grace, that you may faithfully and fruitfully discharge your respective offices. Amen. Brothers, both of you are young, not as young as Solomon. You have already been in the office for some time, and for one, you have a change of office. But you both have felt something already of the great need for understanding and that ability to discern between good and bad. How difficult that sometimes can be. In the office of a deacon, and then we have heard from our form that it is necessary that we bestow the alms only upon those objects of charity. But we know that there are also others who will try to obtain the food that belongs to the poor. God is the guardian of the poor. That is a wonder. When we think that poverty is a consequence of our sin, and how that the Lord sets Himself as a guardian, even in a natural way, in this world over poor persons. And thus, also, He is establishing in His church an office whereby those poor may be cared for. Then it is necessary that the Lord give much discernment in that office. How is that for the office of elder? Then it is not so much for the natural poor, but it is an office which is established for the spiritually poor. Because that is indeed the true church of God, an afflicted and a poor people who shall trust in the name of the Lord. And the whole institution of the church of God, the offices in His church, that is given for that people in a special way. We hope that you may be given to remember this as you do your labors as elder, the Lord willing, in the future, when you need to seek a sermon to be read to the congregation. And then it is in a special way that your thought, that your heart must go out to that true, struggling church of God. And then there are judgments that are necessary to be made. And then it is necessary to receive discernment. Solomon, he may discern between the true mother and the one who claimed to be a mother. And so that is also sometimes laying on our shoulders that we must make such judgments. That is, what is the nature of the true work of God? What truly makes? What are the evidences of that work of God? That is, what are the fruits? Not just a profession, but what are the fruits? Ye shall know them, the Lord says, by their fruits. Then there are sometimes bad doctrines, which persons call good. They are doctrines which are always offensive to that afflicted church of God. Then you may keep them in your mind. There are bad practices, which persons call good practices. Where shall you get this wisdom? The wisdom to make such judgments. Solomon asked it of the Lord. Maybe you have heard that story of George Gillespie. He was a young Scottish theologian. I think he passed away when he was only 35 years old. But the Lord had given him many gifts. And he was delegated to the Westminster Assembly as a young man, good friend of Samuel Rutherford. And there came a point in that assembly that a very prominent and well-known lawyer made a certain oration. And Samuel Rutherford, he said to George Gillespie, "Rise up. Rise up and defend the truth of God." And that man did that, young man. And when he sat down, then that lawyer, he said, "That young man has just wiped away the labors of my life." Gillespie's friends sought his notes. They wanted to know all that was written in those notes. And when they got them, there were only three words: "Da lucem domine." Give light, O Lord. Give light, O Lord. That is what we need. That is now where it needs to come from. This is what we wish for you. When every time again we must meet as a consistory, we must make decisions, you must do your labors in each of your offices, that you may bring this word of the Lord, this petition of this young man before the Lord. It was pleasing to the Lord. And to say, "Lord, it has pleased thee to give me an office. Wilt thou now also qualify me?" The Lord remember and help you in your offices. Mr. Moons, a few words. We'd like to speak to you. For 10 years, you may have been with us in the consistory. You were a privilege to do that labor years ago also. And now it pleases the Lord to bring that labor to an end. Indeed, the work in the offices is also labor. Because of our sin, the Lord has said that our labor must be in the sweat of our face. That is not just the labor of everyone else in this world. That is also the labors that are done by the office bearers in the church. And so it is often in the sweat of our face. And yet, a number of weeks ago, you may say a few words to a few of us and to explain a little bit what a pleasure that was for you by times to do that work in that office. And then that is such a good thing that you may look back upon that work with pleasure. And you're going to miss those pleasures. But you are also going to be missed. And then my thoughts go also to the curatorium, because there in this year, three men, all older men, they will no longer be with us. And the Lord has taken that discernment, and the Lord has taken that experience of age away from us as a curatorium. And we hope that you may remember us on your knees at your home, both in the consistory and in the curatorium. And may the Lord give men to replace those who do become older. And we wish to thank you for all of the labors that you have done for us in the consistory, in the congregation. I think especially also of the many visits that you have made. And then I must also thank your wife on behalf of the congregation and consistory. You have done those visits together many times, and they are visits that do not have to stop. And those are appreciated by the elderly and by the weak in the congregation, and we hope that the Lord may remember both of you, and we thank you for all that you have done. Congregation, let us now sing on behalf of these installed office bearers. Psalter 170, the second stanza. I ask you to do that standing. How blessed the man thou callest and bringest near to thee, and that in thy courts forever his dwelling place may be. He shall within thy temple be satisfied with grace and filled with all the goodness of thy most holy place. The second of 170 standing. Therefore, ye elders, be diligent in the government of the church which is committed to you and the ministers of the word. Be also as watchmen over the house and city of God, faithful to admonish and to caution every one against his ruin. Take heed that purity of doctrine and godliness of life be maintained in the church of God. And ye deacons, be diligent in collecting the alms, prudent and cheerful in the distribution of the same. Assist the oppressed, provide for the true widows and orphans. Show liberality unto all men, but especially to the household of faith. Be ye all with one accord faithful in your offices, and hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, being good examples unto all the people. In so doing, you will purchase to yourselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus, and hereafter enter into the joy of our Lord. On the other hand, beloved Christians, receive these men as the servants of God. Count the elders that rule well worthy of double honor. Give yourselves willingly to their inspection and government. Provide the deacons with good means to assist the indigent. Be charitable, ye rich. Give liberally and contribute willingly. And ye poor, be poor in spirit, and deport yourselves respectfully towards your benefactors. Be thankful to them and avoid murmuring. Follow Christ for the food of your souls, but not for bread. Let him that hath stolen or who hath been burdensome to his neighbors steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which are good, that he may give to him that needeth. Each of you doing these things in your respective callings shall receive of the Lord the reward of righteousness. But since we are unable of ourselves, let us call upon the name of the Lord. O Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that it hath pleased Thee for the better edification of Thy church to ordain in it, besides the ministers of the word, rulers and assistants, by whom Thy church may be preserved in peace and prosperity, and the indigent assisted, and that Thou hast at present granted us in this place men who are of good testimony, and we hope endowed with Thy Spirit. We beseech Thee, replenish them more and more with such gifts as are necessary for them in their ministration, with the gifts of wisdom, courage, discretion, and benevolence, to the end that every one may, in his respective office, acquit himself as is becoming the elders in taking diligent heed unto the doctrine and conversation, in keeping out the wolves from the sheepfold of Thy beloved Son, and in admonishing and reproving disorderly persons. In like manner, the deacons in carefully receiving and liberally and prudently distributing of the alms to the poor, and in comforting them with Thy holy word. Give grace both to the elders and deacons, that they may persevere in their faithful labor and never become weary by reason of any trouble, pain, or persecution of the world. Grant also especially Thy divine grace to this people, over whom they are placed, that they may willingly submit themselves to the good exhortations of the elders, counting them worthy of honor for their work's sake. Give also unto the rich liberal hearts towards the poor, and to the poor grateful hearts towards those who help and serve them, to the end that every one, acquitting himself of his duty, Thy holy name may thereby be magnified, and the kingdom of Thy Son Jesus Christ enlarged, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 367, the fourth stanza. Thou, the Lord, hast chosen Zion. Thou hast ever loved her well. This my resting place forever. Here thou sayest, I choose to dwell. The fourth stanza of Psalter 367. Blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. blessing.